Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Glad to have you here. It is about 3:38 here in Germany, and we are streaming live on Facebook, Twitter, X.com, rather, and YouTube. We also have audio platforms, however you get your audio platforms, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. If you are listening over on Apple or Spotify, please leave us that five-star review. And definitely help us out in the algorithm. But however you're listening, wherever you're listening, just glad to have you here for this awesome show. This is a follow-up piece to my live stream, my reaction, sort of reaction live stream I did the other day on a whole Vegano affair. So we're going to get into it today. A little more thoughtful consideration of the issue itself. And I gave this thing some thought. And I think what's going to happen really is Archbishop Vegano is really on a trajectory to start his own church. We see that clearly. I'm going to show you the manifesto of his church, his sort of like the creed of the Protestant denomination that he's going to start. He's really walking in the footsteps of Luther. I think he wants to walk in the footsteps of Lefebvre, right? But he's actually walking in the footsteps of Martin Luther. I'm going to demonstrate that to you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to lay this whole thing out for you. Of what is about to happen. And some of you are just going to have to decide whether you're Catholic or not. It's time to get off the fence. Stop being a Catholic. Catholic. We see what that leads to. It leads to your disobedience, leads to being outside the church. So we're going to get into that today on David L. Gray, Off Code, Unscripted here on St. Dominic's Media. So to recap where I was at, and just where I'm at on a whole, what I'm calling an inquisition, okay? And this is the inquisition. A part of me is sort of happy that the castry, or what I call the disaster for the doctrine of the faith, is picking up their old mantle of the holy office of the inquisition and going after people who are leading people to hell. Leading people outside the church, bad shepherds. So I'm okay with the Inquisition. I would like the DDF to root them all out. Anyone who denies that Pope Francis is the Pope, anyone who rejects Vatican II, anyone who has rejected magisterium and in lieu of that has set their own magisterium, anyone who's saying that you cannot read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but rather in lieu of that, you should read the Catechism of Trent. People who wrote their own catechism, such as Schneider, in a book that he calls Credo. Anyone, again, who has set themselves up as their own magisterium, root them out. Excommunicate them. Call them up for Inquisition. But I also say don't stop there. With the schism crowd, with the Rad Trad Inc. And by Rad Trad Inc., again, I don't mean people who just love the traditional Latin Mass, or people who are radical about their love of the traditional Mass, even follow the old calendar and, you know, all these things. No, Rad Trad Inc. is a specific group of people who are basically a wake up away from becoming a set of a contest. And are leading people into a set of Aconitism and Protestantism. And these are people who just really just profit off the faith. They tell lies. Again, they set up their own magisterium. So that's, you know, I made a whole video about, you know, defining what Rad Trad Inc. is. So they use Marxist principles, make people feel like victims, make it feel like, oh, I'm being attacked, you know, because, you know, listen, it's just Marxism. But again, I would say don't stop there with that group. Find the Freemasons in the Catholic Church. We know many of them by name. Find them, root them out. All the active homosexuals in the Catholic Church, find them, root them out. There's just a high percentage. There's been a report that said it's a high percentage of the abuse of teens and children were from men who are attracted to other men. Right. So it's not these people have been expensive. They've been immoral. It's just been a mess. So root them out. Bishops like Stowe and his transgender hermit. Root them out, find them. James Martin, suppress all the North American Jesuits. Excommunicate 80% of the German bishops. We just need standards. And I think the Holy Office and Inquisition can go a long way of helping us create standards in our church, right? Now, I would say that I don't know if being tough on crime actually deters crime. I don't know. I've never really been convinced of that argument. Because I do know that most criminals are narcissists. And narcissists really don't care if they get caught or not. Well, it's not that they don't care if they get caught. They actually, a narcissist doesn't believe they'll get caught. They're just like this, it's overconfidence. Or they believe that things will just work out for them. Right? So I don't know if being tough on crime deters crime. But I do think being tough on schism will stop schismatics, right? I think that will work if the DDF just becomes tough on schism, tough on our orthodoxy. Because I think for far too long, these people didn't think they would be held accountable for the things they say, for the things they write, for the YouTube interviews, the YouTube content, for their conference speeches, for their books. I mean, did Athanasius Snyder really think he wouldn't be held accountable for writing Credo, which is like the anti-catechism? So don't be surprised if he's next. So I think being tough on schism can have an effect on these schismatics rising up, right? The comfort, being able, allowing these people to be comfortable in particular sort of spaces. Only it's like mold. It just grows. You got to put some bleach on it, right? You have to let some air into the room. It just festers like roaches, right? So you can't allow people to be comfortable, right? Now, they'll still have these thoughts. They'll have them in their head. But we'll get into how we are sort of complicit and culpable in allowing a space for this whole thing to fester. But I think one reaction to being able just to put this whole thing away is being tough on schism. But is being tough on schism, does it have to be excommunication, David? Could it be something else? Isn't excommunication harsh? Isn't it extreme? Yes, I do. I think excommunication is very extreme. It can only be appealed to a pope. You know, it's the most extreme thing you can do, just making someone not kicking them out of the church. Well, they kick themselves out of church, but declaring it. And you don't have any access to the sacraments. Yes, you can still worship a mass, but you have no access to the sacraments. That is extreme. That's like hell on earth. So yes, I think it is harsh. It is extreme. Is it an overreaction? I think these schismatics are leading people to hell. They're leading them outside the church. Something has to be done. And again, these people have already excommunicated themselves. They've been outside the church for a long time. But they preach a different gospel. Right. You know, the magisterium, for example, says, you know, you have to attend to your Sunday obligation. You have to worship at the Mass. You don't have to receive Holy Communion, but you have to attend to your Sunday obligation and every holy day. But then you have people like Dr. Peter Kuzniewski, who says, no, you actually don't have to fulfill your Sunday obligation unless you can do it at a traditional Latin Mass. Kennedy Hall says the same thing. We made videos about the subject. No need to rehash it here. But that's just an example. People are saying you can't fulfill your Sunday obligation at a Novus Ordo Mass. And it sounds a little Gnostic, doesn't it? That you have to go to a particular place, that they have the secrets of the Mass, that you have to go there to fulfill your Sunday obligation. They teach the opposite of what the Catechism teaches us. Again, Credo teaches the opposite of what the church teaches. So yes, excommunication is very harsh. and extreme. But I think it's the only thing that really stopped these people from converting Catholics into sedevacantists and Protestants. So I love that the Dicastery, just to recap my position here, I love that the DDF, the Disaster for the Doctrine of the Faith, has went retro and reactivated the Holy Office of the Inquisition. But I just hope it doesn't end with Vigano. Otherwise, it looks political. It looks like a vendetta of a pope going after his enemies. And I just don't think it's a good look, and it's not what we actually need. But at the same time, I wonder if these people are, because I bear some culpability in this whole thing as well, in breeding roaches and allowing the condition for mold to just grow in our house. I recognize the part I played in this, back when I was doing the mass nightmares. At some of the places where I've spoke at, some of the things I said, some of the people I had on my platform, I recognize my role in this. I recognize I've given people cover. I recognize I put them out to you as being people you can trust. I recognize the role I played, and I repent of that. If it's led anyone into error, we grow up, right? One important thing to do every night, you just have to do a reconciliation. You just have to do a recollection of your day and see the things that you've done and the things that you failed to do. Right? And you can't be proud. You have to be humble. You have to say, okay, maybe I erred there and this needs some deeper reflection. How can I improve? So I recognize the role I played in this whole thing. Promoting the rad trad movement. I recognize that. But I think we all need to start taking accountability for schismatics like Vigano. Because we created these people. We applauded them. We gave them safe space to tell their lies. We invited them to our conferences to speak. We hosted them. We subscribed to their channels. We sent them money. It's not really hard to create a monster. It's not. Some of you have children who are monsters that you created, right? It's not hard to create a monster. Only thing you have to do to create a monster is not make them accountable for their actions, or the things that they've done, the things they failed to do. If you don't hold people accountable, it's very easy to create a monster. If all you do is applaud them, give them participation trophies, tell them that everything that they do is good, you will create a monster overnight. And you won't be able to do anything with it. Some of you know I'm telling the truth. And we did that with Vigano and with others. So the traditional Latin mass community, again, not Rad Trad Inc. Just the people who love the ancient liturgies. Myself, I'm the Byzantine Mass, the Divine Liturgy, is my heartbeat, right? I just, when I encountered it very early on in my faith journey, I didn't know there was anything else but the Novus Ordo. I didn't, Then I start, oh, wow, this, because you're looking up masses on Google or Google Maps, whatever, and you see it. And you go to the reviews and you say, oh, wait, this is Byzantine? What is that? This is Maronite? This is Melkite? What is that? So I found those long before I found FSSP. And this is my first love. Well, my second love, because honestly, I fell in love with the Novus Ordo the first day I was in there. I was just, the silence, it was just so amazing to me. People kneeling, people standing. I just knew I had walked into a sacred space. But these are the people who love the ancient liturgies, in particular, the traditional Latin mass community, especially in the United States, North America. These are the people who have had given Vigano a home. He found home with this community. And now Pope Francis, who considers these people his enemy by way of people like Burke and people like Vigano. And we'll get into the whole pettiness of the whole thing. I'll get there, right? I'm not letting Francis off the hook, but I'll get there. But he considers these people, you know, his enemies, and he's lumped them all together. He feels that if for one to go, another must go as well. The whole baby in the bathwater thing. He feels that both are bad for the church. In other words, Pope Francis views the traditional Latin Mass community sort of like Israel views Palestine. Sure, there's some good people in Palestine, but they're hiding Hamas. Both Jews, both Israelites and Palestinians know that the mission of Hamas is to destroy Israel, but they give them cover. They give them shelter. They give them jobs. They give them homes. These are their cousins, their brothers, their friends, their family. And they hide them, knowing that the mission of Hamas is to destroy Israel, wipe it off of the earth. And because of what happened, because they gave these people, gave Hamas a safe space to operate, and the thing happens. Now Israel has the predisposition, the attitude that, oh, you hide these people, you gave them cover, you let them fester like mold and roaches in your community. Well, you all have to go now. Now, people with a rational brain, people who are pro-life, we recognize that, you know, this is a genocide. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. But at the same time, we understand just the human side outside of Christ, just the human side of how people react when love is absent. On both sides. They all have to go. I think this would have been easier if Palestine did not harbor Hamas. If they kept them separate. They say, yeah, you guys are brothers, our cousins, our friends. But you have an agenda that's not healthy for our community. They're going to come for us. So you guys can sort of be here, but you have to go to this city, right? They should have segregated. And I think it's the same with the traditional Latin Mass community. I do. We harbored schismatics. We gave them cover. We gave them likes, the shares, the conference speakers, slots, the money. We bought the books, gave them excellent reviews. Pope Francis is looking at this in his league. Looking at this, they see that, man, that's their community. That's their safe space. That's their cult. The whole thing has to go. Because we harbor schismatics. We didn't think there would be a consequence, apparently. And now it's too late. The monsters have been created. And you can't put the genie back in a bottle. So yeah, we need to look in the mirror ourselves and see how we all contributed to the situation. And again, not to let Pope Francis off the hook. I mean, he's just a reactionary, a bad pope. But he's our bad pope. But not even mad kings and bad popes. I don't know. I wouldn't say bad popes. Probably I'd say just mad kings. Let's go with that one. I don't think mad kings oftentimes are born that way. Maybe. Sometimes you just reap what you sow. Sometimes people don't know how to react well to situations. So the liberals who put Pope Francis in place are learning themselves. Some of the things that Pope Francis does and says isn't always what they like. and those who enable the Rad Trad Inc. are losing their liturgy, at least in the ordinary diocese. I can't imagine that religious orders and perhaps some congregations will, you know, if that's their charism, that's their charism. You can't tell them that they can't follow their charism, but you can tell a local bishop under the Roman Rite that he cannot have the traditional Latin Mass as a community in his community, in his diocese. That I can see that likely happening. Maybe it should. I think we took for granted. Sometimes you just reap what you sow. Sometimes you just have to take it on the chin. We created this. Sometimes you just get what you deserve. There has to be accountability. Based upon the same principles that Palestine is losing a lot more. You know, being excommunicated, it is harsh. Man, I don't think there's anything more harsh than excommunication, like I said, compared to like being like hell on earth, you know? It just means that you don't have access to the sacraments until your situation is resolved by the Holy Father, if it is, by this Pope or the next one. It'd be hard being cut off. Well, being cut off is always hard when it's something that you desire. It's like a bad breakup, right? You've been broken up with a girl just out of nowhere. You thought you guys were going somewhere, and all of a sudden she tells you you're going nowhere. You might have been in love. Might have been about to propose. Then all of a sudden, it's over. That can make a man cry. It's hard. Excommunication is even worse. You could try to get back with the girl, figure out what you did wrong, bring her some flowers. I think you have a better chance of that than something like Vigano being unexcommunicated, coming back into communion with the church, right? Because the guy who brings flowers, asks what he did wrong, he's humble. He's trying to figure it out. He's not a narcissist. He's not proud. He's humble. I don't know if Vigano has that in him. Excommunication is sort of, it makes me think about something that I find completely disgusting here in Germany. It gives me just the greatest amount of disgust. And it makes me, I don't understand why this whole thing hasn't been figured out. You know, here in Germany, if you are a German citizen, but you tell that, you know, you're a German citizen, so you get from birth or from whatever, so as soon as you declared, right, your religion, you get 10% of your income just taken out for a church tax. You're already getting a lot of your money taken out of you. It's like income tax here sometimes, like maybe like 60%. That's a lot. But, you know, you get a lot of benefit for that. You know, you don't have to offer, you got to pay tithes if you don't want to, I guess, because 10% of your income is already coming out. You know, you get a very decent education if you want to go to university, if you're qualified. Everyone doesn't get to go. I think that's wild. You know, United States, it makes me really appreciate the United States a lot more. If you know, United States, someone like me, who was a very late bloomer, school really didn't just interest me. It kind of bored me. I was just kind of average for the most part, unless I really, really liked the class in high school. So it takes someone like me who graduated with like a C average in high school. And I can decide, hey, I want a better life. I don't want to stay in Warren, Ohio. I don't want to end up like my dad and work in a factory. I don't want that in my life. You know, in high school, I went to, you know, they had to take you to different jobs or whatever. So we went to the Packard factory where they made car parts. And I saw my dad there. He's there putting some tape around the thing over and over again, putting tape around the thing, tape around the thing, tape around the thing, standing up. And then at the end of the day, I saw all these people when I went there to pick up my dad one time, or I, you know, went to go see him after work. I saw all these people just running out of Packard Electric. I said, who runs from a job? This is horrible. So I didn't want that life. And so United States, I have the opportunity, right, to go do something better. Go to college. I was able to get some loans. I also wanted to run track. I went to the school I wanted to go to. Walked on to the track team. I was decent in high school, right? I had a good time. I think my best time in high school. I don't think I got under 2 minutes. I wasn't great. But I was able to go to college and was able to put myself in a position to maybe try to compete for get into the Olympics in 1996. So that's America. But here in Germany, you don't have that opportunity. If you don't have good grades, you just can't. They say, no, you can't go. Maybe later on in life, I have to get some experience, right? But that's because, you know, everyone pays these high taxes here and education is basically free. But one thing I find disgusting is that if you tell the government that you are unchurched, that you no longer want your 10% of your income going to the Catholic Church, you know what the Catholic Church does here, at least in a lot of parishes? You want the sacraments? Well, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to look and see whether you've been paying your 10% church tax. If you haven't been paying your 10% church tax, you don't have any access to the sacraments, no marriage, no confirmation. Contrary to what the church teaches that because you've been baptized, you have access to the sacraments, or because you're human, you have access to the sacrament of baptism. I find that utterly disgusting. It's like the governments or even the church here in Germany is excommunicating people because they're not paying their church tax. You want last rites? Let's see here. Let's look at the records. I think it's most demonic form of self-excommunication. I think it's disgusting. But Vigano, you know, like I said, he self-excommunicated himself a long time ago. And the question is now, what will he do? What will he do? What will Vigano do once he's excommunicated? I think the answer is obvious. It doesn't take a whole lot of brain power to figure this one out. He's going to start his own church. How do we know? Well, first of all, he's been ordaining his own priest. We found out on the last show from Father Lovell, the founder of the Coalition for Cancer Priests. He's been ordaining his own priest, not really sending them to seminary, not giving them some sort of 5 year, 6 year, 8 year education, and what it means to be spiritually and theologically formed to be a priest forever. No, he's been ordaining his own priest. Just making priests out of nowhere. It reminds me of when I was a Freemason. And there's this ancient rite, they call it, that a Grand Master can do. It is called, he can make a Mason on site. On site, the Grand Master has a right to make a Freemason like that. On site. A lot of famous people you hear about, they went through this process. People like Don King, Mike Tyson, whatever, you know. They were made Masons on site by some grandmaster. The process itself doesn't really have to be complicated. It can really just be a grandmaster in the airport sees a guy. It just really declares him to be a Mason, just instantly gives him the first 3 degrees like this. When I was a deputy at a grandmaster, we were in Dayton, Ohio, and we had this occasion to make a bunch of Masons on site that I was involved with. And there are a lot of people there who, you know, were politicians, CEOs, bankers, university presidents. And I really didn't know who was all there. One guy, I was at a fundraiser, Bill Cosby was hosting. And a guy like comes up to me, you know, he's excited to see me. You know, he's some sort of local politician. And he said, you guys made me a Mason, you know, this whole thing. And so I really didn't know who's there. I just knew some, you know, notable people there. And, you know, I think at that occasion, I think we taught them, we gave them the obligation of the first 3 degrees. We taught them a handshake and kind of only sent them on their way, you know. Like I said, it doesn't have to be that. there's really no thing in the ancient charges that says how a grandmaster can do it. It just says that a grandmaster has a right to make a mason on site. He can circumvent the process. That's what Vigano is doing. He's making priests on site. Why? Why is he doing this? He's laying the foundations to establish his own church. I'm going to show you his manifesto here of his new church. Now, he's probably going to call the same name as the foundation that he started to do this whole thing, to raise money for his new church. I think you pronounce it Exsurge Domini. You know, you guys always make fun of me when I try to pronounce Latin. Listen, I'm still really trying to learn English. Throw into that, I'm trying to learn some German, some French while I'm here. You know, I'm trying to really get really good at Spanish, because I think, you know, I'm eventually going to, we're going to retire in Portugal, right? So I'm trying to learn a little bit of Spanish, a little Portuguese. So I have a lot going on. So don't try to make fun of my Latin. No, you can make fun of it. I don't care. But I think it's Exsurge Domini, Exsurge Domini, whatever. The translation is Arise, O Lord. It's funny that he named his foundation that name, because that's the same name of Pope Pius X's papal bull against Martin Luther and his heresies. Ironically, maybe that papal bull was written on June 15th, around the same time that this whole thing is going on, in the year 1520, Pope Pius X. Again, he wrote this in response to heretical teachings of Martin Luther. It just amazes me. So I see people in the comments saying that, oh, I stand with Vigano. I always reply back, stand with Jesus Christ. Why do people, they stamp their soul to the back of a man? You can't stamp your soul to the back of a man and follow him wherever he goes. Stand with Jesus. Especially don't stand up for someone who clearly has no characteristics of being a heroic person, of being a saint. Vigano doesn't even leave his house. Oh, he's in fear of his life. What saint was in fear of their life? Isn't that the whole thing, to be a martyr? Don't you want to die? Don't you want to be a martyr? I've never seen someone who's like scared to leave their house. Talks on webcams, writes things on Twitter. Tough guy with the fingers. At least Martin Luther, you know, he went to the Diet of Worms. This is after he's excommunicated. He goes there. Not Vigano. Let's take a look at his manifesto here. So I believe that this word right here, what you're looking at, is going to be the manifesto for Vigano's new church. Let me blow it up for you, because I want you to see this. And this is from his website. Exsurge Domini. The manifesto, the creed of Vigo's new church begins like this. In the face of the Dicastery's accusations, I claim, as successor to apostles, to be in full communion with the Roman Catholic Apostolic Church, with the magisterium of the Roman pontiffs, and with the uninterrupted doctrinal, moral, and liturgical tradition which they have faithfully preserved. The creed continues. I repudiate the neo-modernist errors inherent in Vatican and the Second Vatican Council and in the so-called post-conciliar magisterium. In particular matters of collegiality, ecumenism, religious freedom, and the solidarity to the state and the liturgy. I believe, or I repudiate, reject, condemn the scandals, errors, heresies of Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who manifests an absolutely tyrannical management and power exercise against the purpose that legitimizes authority in the church, an authority that is vicariously of that of Christ, and as such must obey him alone. This separation of the papacy from its legitimizing principle, which is Christ the high priest, transforms the ministerium into a self-reverential tyranny. No Catholic worthy of the name can be in communion with this Bergoglian church, because it acts in clear unity, this unity and rupture with all the popes of history and with the Church of Christ. So he moves on from his creed, right? This is the creed of his new church, Iser Domini. And then now he moves on to what are clearly a list of anathemas. So he has declared himself here to be some sort of pope himself, or an anti-pope, but really the founder of a new Protestant church. This is the creed, the things that they reject, not the necessarily they believe. We can flip this around and make it a positive statement, but it starts off negative. These are things they repudiate. And then there's the anathema of why you must belong to his church and why you must follow him. Because no Catholic worthy of the name can be in communion with this, what he calls a Bergoglian church. So despite the fact that there's been Francis, there's been Benedict XVI, there's been St. Pope John Paul II, there's been John Paul. Despite that, and him himself being born just, I think he's born in 1968, I think he was. No, he becomes a priest in 1968, yeah. Post-Vatican II. So beside all this, he's decided to call. Picture this as some sort of post-Vatican II church, and he gives it a name that this denomination, he's calling the Catholic Church that we know is the Church, one Holy Apostolic Catholic, he calls it the Bergoglian Church. He says, because it acts in disunity, again, that's him being his own magisterium, making these pronouncements, and rupture with all the popes of history and with the Church of Christ. This is Vigano being pope. These are his declarations of his new church. And now he's about to really show how humble he is. He's about to put himself in league with people like Lefebvre. He is 50 years ago in that same palace of the Holy Office. Archbishop Lefebvre was summoned and accused of schism for rejecting Vatican II. He says, his defense is mine. His words are mine, and his arguments are mine. Arguments before which the Roman authorities could not condemn him. For heresy, having to wait instead for him to consecrate bishops so as to have the pretext declaring him schismatic and then revoking his excommunication when he was already dead. The scheme is repeated. Even after half a century has demonstrated Archbishop Lefebvre's prophetic choice. In these times of apostasy, Catholics will find pastors faithful to the mandate received from our Lord as an example and encouragement to abide to the truth of Christ. My friends, this is the manifesto of Vigano's new Protestant church. Again, what do you do after you're excommunicated and you're not humble? You choose violence, not peace. You choose disunity instead of unity. Now you start your own church. That's what every Protestant does. Now, Parolin, you know, he had said that, you know, he alluded to the fact that people change. They do become more extreme. Something happens in their life, whatever. You know, people say this is not the same Vigano as 2018. Clearly, this Vigano says he's honored to be charged with schism. Very proud. But so if you fell in love with Vigano in the past, you don't have to keep following him. If people change, they sort of lose their, you know, their mandate or whatever. You know, you don't have to keep following someone. You don't have to belong to someone's cult based upon something they did in the past. People change. And you have to adapt to the current situation. It's better all just follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow men. Don't stamp your soul to the back of a man and follow him. Just follow Jesus. And along the way, you'll encounter people who are also following Jesus. You may fall in love with them. You may like them. You may support them. Fine. But if they leave the path, you don't have to go with them. This is the path to Martin Luther. And Vigano has a lot in common with Martin Luther. They both say that the Pope is not the Pope. Martin Luther called the papacy the Antichrist. Vigano calls Francis a false prophet. They both say that the magisterium has no power over them. The Holy Office of the Inquisition has no authority over them. They both hide. You know, Martin Luther was, you know, he's hiding in the castle of Wittenberg by the German princes, paying his bills, feeding him, taking care of him. Vigano, who comes from a very wealthy family in Italy, he's hiding with them. Maybe in one of their houses, maybe his sister's basement. We don't know. But he comes from a very wealthy family. It's really a comparison to the German princes. But like I said, at least Martin Luther did appear at the Diet of Worms after his excommunication. You know, he's excommunicated by Pius. He's excommunicated by Leo X. And in 1521, and in that same year, so that had to be January, and then about in March, April, in 1521, Luther was summoned to the Diet of Worms to, be held accountable. He's coming there by the Emperor Charles V. To give account of his beliefs, to defend his beliefs before the Diet of Worms. So he's summoned by emperor, not by the Holy Office Inquisition, so to speak, by the emperor. And I suppose he would have to go, right? This is political at this point with the German princes. And at least at this historic assembly at the Diet of Worms, Luther was, I guess, man enough to stand there in the box and defend his beliefs. He was defiant. He refused to recant his writings and his tracts, his theses. He stood there and said, "I said what I said. I said it. What you gonna do?" You don't have to like the guy. Clearly, he's taken by Satan, but at least he was man enough to stand there and say, "I said what I said." After which, the emperor, which he knew was going to happen, the emperor calls him an outcast and a heretic. Vigano isn't even man. Martin Luther was more of a man than Vigano. Vigano can't even go down the street to the Vatican in one of the cars that's being driven by one of his drivers of his family, right? He's not even man enough to go to the Vatican to a legitimate trial. Some would say, "Oh, the books are already cooked." I would probably say they are. Unless he recants. He can always recant. But yeah, his words have already condemned him. The things he's written, the things he said, they've already condemned him. But if he was man, if he's a man, he would show up. You know, these false reports came out the other day talking about how Vigano, he went to trial. Everyone hearing that should have been a little bit suspicious. right? Just a little bit suspicious. He's not man enough to stand there in the box and say, I said what I said. What are you going to do? He's just a tough guy with his fingers. He talks a good game. But he's shady. He's slippery. Ordaining his own priest. Trying to start his own church. Creating his own foundation. Naming the name of the foundation. A name that is, that we think of Martin Luther. And like Martin Luther, he's going to start his own church. Now, we call them Lutherans. I guess we'll call these Veganos. Do you belong to the Vegano church? Or like I say, he'll probably name it after, he'll give the name his foundation, Esser's Domini. Do you belong to the ED church? All right. ED used to mean erectile dysfunction. Clearly, there's some dysfunction going on in the Vegano church. But many people will follow him. He's walking in Lefebvre's footsteps. A new society, like society, he wants to be like SSPX, right? He wants to create his own priest, create his own bishops. And many of you will be accomplices in this whole thing. You will. Some of you now are in the comments section saying you stand with Vegano. Well, I hope you stand next to him in hell. Because that's where he's headed if he doesn't repent of this evil. Some of you think this is a sport. You think it's a game. You think, you think politically. You think of things in context of politics, sports. Like you can choose Vegano over Christ, Vegano over Francis. This isn't a sports game. This isn't an election. A guy posted a comment, I think on my Facebook page, said, oh, David Gray, you're on the wrong side of history. Shut the hell up. What does David L. Gray care about being on the wrong side of history? Dude, I'm trying to be on the right side of eternity. You can keep history. It's not like something liberals always say. You're going to be on the wrong side of history if you don't accept that being a trainee is normal. What is human history compared to being on the right side of eternity? But if history is what matters to you, if the destination of your soul doesn't matter, go ahead, stand with Vegano, the true successor of Martin Luther, and a wannabe Lefebvre, and a wannabe Pope. But that's all I know for that. That's all I know about that for now. Let me get to your comments, and I'm out of here. And wow, you guys have a lot of comments, so. Let's see where we can start here. Born Branded 23 says, maybe it's Pope Francis who's starting his own church. That's fair. I mean, if that's the response, to the whole thing. This is kind of like a whataboutism, right? It's a whataboutism. What about Francis starting his own church? I guess we can go there. M. Coleman says, be a Catholic or get off the boat. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we all have to stop being cafeteria Catholics. And I think is, there's something we accuse liberals of on abortion and all these other issues, homosexuality and all this stuff. Oh, you're a cafeteria Catholic. Well, what about us? I think right there, right on my bookshelf, right, have several catechisms. Old, new, some of the ones before John Paul's. I mean, you can believe what the church teaches, or you can be a Protestant. Those are the only two options. Believe what the church teaches, or be a Protestant. And when I say what the church teaches, is what the church teaches, not what she taught. You know, dogma doesn't change. So what the church taught, the church teaches concerning dogma. Those things have been revealed by God. In the second magisterial class are those teachings that explain those things that God has revealed. The other classes of magisterial teachings, number 3 on faith and morals, number 4 on disciplines. The church says there could be error here, and we have the right to clarify some magisterial teachings, such as you're not allowed to wear black to mass. Women have to sit on this side, women have to sit on that side. It's okay to put people in slavery. You know, this whole thing. It's okay to say that some magisterial teachings just have to go away. These are disciplines, right? So it's what the church teaches, not what she may have taught magisterially, non-dogmatically at some time. Because which, you know, people say, oh, we got to follow tradition. Which traditions? I would say rather than return to tradition, return to sacred. But you have to follow what the church teaches. Otherwise, you're a Protestant. Anne says, I used to think you had it together, David O'Gray. Wow, was I wrong. Sad face. Can someone who's been excommunicated have to prove they went to confession and repentance in order to be reunited with the church? How does that work? No, the resolve to excommunication is to the Holy Father himself. Well, this type of excommunication, not self-excommunication. Like, you know, you're excommunicated if you become a Freemason. I think it's still a case if you get an abortion. There's some things, there's latae sentia, you're just excommunicated. But this type of excommunication by a result of a trial from the Holy Office, unless the Pope himself says that there's some other resolve, such as a jubilee year, and this particular thing, schism, is included in that. For example, being a Freemason, the only resolve to that excommunication used to be you had to go to the Pope himself, and he had to absolve you after confession. And then there's a jubilee year. I forget which Pope declared his jubilee year. I think it was the Pope after Clement the 12th, I think Benedict, one of the Benedict, yeah, Benedict the 14th, one of the smartest people on the planet. I think he announced a jubilee year. Well, all Freemasons can just go to a any priest and be absolved, right? So, but Vigano, once he's found guilty, the only outcome, the only resolve is the Pope himself. Laram Johnson, I stand with Pope Francis, stand with the Magisterium. I did not convert to the Catholic Church to be more Catholic than a Pope or to be a Protestant. I mean, that's the guy who gets it. Born Brandon says, are you sure Pope Francis is truly Pope? Here's what we know. He was elected at a conclave of cardinals, selected by John Paul II and Benedict the 16th. That's who was there. Everyone who was there elected him after some other votes. And no one who was there has recanted their vote. So he's the Pope. That's how becoming Pope works nowadays. You're elected by a conclave of your peers. That question is distinct from whether he's actually operating in the ministry of Peter, the Petrine ministry. Now, Vatican I would say these two things are synonymous. Okay, fine. We also have the, is there evidence that he's actually operating in the ministry of Peter? Is he a source of unity? Is he proclaiming the word of God? And is he a pastor? Is he shepherding, pastoring, leading the sheep? Those are three duties of the Pope. So we could say there's not really evidence that he's actually operating in a Petrine ministry. He seems to be a source of division. Some of his teachings are a little bit wacky, saying like the Holy Eucharist is the bread of sinners. His thoughts on civil marriage. Right? And is he a pastor? I mean, that's kind of subjective, right? Some people say yes. Some people say, there's some lots of lacking here. So whether he's operating in the ministry of St. Peter, the Petrine ministry, is something that's up for review. But it doesn't mean that he's not the Pope. That charism, that ministry, that office, it maybe will come later in his papacy. It may never come. We've had popes in the past who there's no evidence that they're actually operating in the Petrine ministry and his graces and his charisms. Right? But they're Pope. So you can be Pope and a bad Pope, but you're Pope. All right. So. And even just the question whether Francis is the Pope is, it's not healthy for the church. It sounds a little bit Protestant. I think it leaves people out of the church, right? Just putting that out there. Pope Francis may not be the Pope. Well, why should I be Catholic? Right. If we elect the Pope, and there's all these people questioning, is he the Pope? Am I in the right church? So kind of weird to even put that out there. John Doe says, 2 weeks ago, Vigano said that Francis is guilty of the same crimes as McCarrick. And I think Vigano should know that, since he also, covered up for McCarrick, according to some reports. Right. So we shall see. Things that are done in dark, they all eventually come to light, right? I definitely believe that. Sometimes it's after people are dead, though. And Larry makes a point about talking about James Martin, saying he walks a very fine line when you deny the ecumenical council of the whole church and deny the successor, St. Peter, trust Jesus. Yeah. I think Martin, the Jesuit, is a master of walking the fine line. And it's good for him that he has an ally in Pope Francis. He didn't have the ally in Benedict, that's for sure. Connie says, I leave judgment of Francis to God. There's no way I'm holy or omniscient enough to know or to deal with that mess. Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's a good idea. Like, keep it simple. Like, my wife, she has no interest in this whole thing, right? I was talking to her about this whole thing, like I'm going to talk about on my show. And I think she fell asleep while I was talking to her. And I think that's most people outside of, this community. And some people are interested in this community, right? Nobody's interested in this. This doesn't move the needle, even 1 millimeter. So I think it's better just to keep your faith simple and not get up on all this stuff. Born Brandon 29 says, I live in New York City. We only have one shrine where there's a diocesan Latin mass in two parishes, one in Brooklyn and one in Bronx. There's nothing left for them to take. Oh, those are gone too. I think what's coming down next is that diocese, just an ordinary diocese, just your local Roman rite underneath the Holy Father, non-religious order, non-institution, non-congregation. I think their Latin masses are about to come to a quick cessation. Ceasing. End. Close. Done with. Put a nail in a coffin. I think pretty soon you'll see that the only places you'll find a traditional Latin mass are your FSSP, Institute of Christ the King Sovereign Priest. And it may even be the case that things might go to Supich route. Remember, Supich, he got rid of the Institute of Christ the King Sovereign Priest. Or said in that church, they cannot offer the Latin Mass. So, something may happen to the SSPX. Again, the thing here that I think Pope Francis is doing, again, he's looking at this like Palestine, Hamas, like Israel. And I think everything has to go. Just a complete nuking. Like just to flush it out. Throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. I hope it isn't that extreme that it even goes to the religious orders or the FSSP and things like that. I think that'd be tragic. And I think, wow, that would be the nuclear option would be bad. All right, like a lamb, bad. But if it isn't that extreme, if you're just saying, oh, the diocese can't do it, like ordinary bishop can't do it in any of his parishes, I think that's also be good for the church. Because I think it's good for serious Catholics to return to or go to the Novus Ordo. It's good for them, and it's good for Novus Ordo. It's good for the Novus Ordo because it'd be good to have serious Catholics there and have the priest be accountable to the black and the red. Say the black, do the red. I think traditional Catholics, serious traditional Catholics would do that. So it'd be good for Novus Ordo. And it'd be good for traditional Catholics to encounter ministries that are there after you leave the Mass. Prison ministries, the feed the homeless, all the ministries that you find in Novus Ordo, except for the LGBT Reach Out Committee, all the other ones, I think would be good and helpful for your traditional Latin Catholics. You know, the feed the whole the food banks, the St. Vincent de Paul's. It'd be good for your people who just love the liturgy and live for the liturgy to actually go live for other. And be Christ in the world instead of just keeping Christ in the liturgy. But that's the best option. So we'll see how that whole thing turns out. Colin McMiniman, a good friend of the show. Hey, Colin, I don't think I've seen you in a while. He says, I was a sea guy in Ireland. But good at sports. AC guys. So you average the B. Okay. Yeah, but good at sports. Then I came to America. Thank God I had a chance. I never returned. Praise be to God. So Ireland is kind of like Germany. You can't just shoot your shot, be an average high school kid and just try to make something out of your life. Yeah. It gives me more appreciation in the United States. It really does. In the United States, you can become anything you want to be. You can, if you have the effort, you have the drive, you have the values. Horatio Alger, you know, he used to write these books back in the late 1800s. You know, these coming to lift yourself up by your bootstrap stories. They really promoted the American idea of. That America had this American dream that you can just be anything you want to be in the United States. You can go from rag to riches. Horatio Alger here wrote a lot of books like this. But I think it is true. Maybe even still largely true today, even though there's obviously a lot of challenges in the United States. You can still go into massive debt and go to college and graduate with a degree. Which will give you access to things that you didn't have access to before. Now you can start a YouTube channel, make a lot of money too. You know, college isn't the only option today, but yeah, I love the United States has that opportunity that a lot of places do not. It's really just a caste system outside of the United States, just a caste system. You know, if you're poor, you're going to stay poor. So. Cole says, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. How about fake news? But Vatican II started their own church about 60 years ago. That's not bad news. That's fake news. Right. So it's people like this, right? The reason why, like I said, the traditional Latin Mass community, you have to look in the mirror and say, it's people like Cole here are the reason why we're in a situation that we are now. Like, who fed him this information? Who made him? Right? He's a monster now, going around saying, oh, there's a different church. Pope Francis hears this. And he thinks this is just this is just the culture, this type of stuff that's coming out of. This is what we're breeding. This is what we're producing. That's a whole different church. People are not accepting Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council. See, this is the type of stuff when bad things happen to you, you don't have to wonder why. And it's like a kid. When I was a kid, I used to get that belt, right, for some things I did bad or something. Get that belt on my butt. Sometimes I got the belt naked, which is the worst type of belt to get. But I never wonder why. I never got a whooping because something that I didn't do. Every whooping I get is because something I did do, something I failed to do. And there's always a consequence. So when you see people like Cole out here saying this type of stuff, and he's not isolated. There's a lot of people who think like him. The Taylor Marshalls of the world have created a lot of Coles. And he's the reason why bad things happen to good people. M. Coleman, vegan, no, is Luther 2.0. Yeah. Sissy says, prove him wrong. Tell me what he's doing. David, you are confused. Yeah, I'm maybe confused, but I'm right. You'll see. He's ordaining his own priest. He's starting his own church. He has his own foundation. He's ready to go. He won't show up to the Vatican to be a man in answer to his charges. Come on now. I'm not confused. I'm just right. Almost always am. I kid. I'm not always right. Let me see. What else do we have here? Born Brandon talking about, So are there documents, not constitutions, not dogmatic constitutions, documents that came out of Vatican II, that there's some parts of that that you do not have to assent to as a matter of faith, but are magisterial teachings, low-level magisterial teachings as far as disciplines, faith, and morals? Or maybe even something that is maybe even a subclass beyond those four, such as worship. We worship the same God as Muslims. I think that's just objectively not true. The Muslim God, Allah, does not have a son. He is not triune. So even the Vatican II teaching that it precedes, you know, all this stuff, precedes Vatican II. These things weren't just made up at Vatican II. People are saying these things. Traditional Latin Mass priests and bishops were always saying these things before they wrote these things at Vatican II, by the way. So these things were already floating around. Right? Already floating around was this idea that Protestants are brothers and sisters. Right? Now, as a Catholic, if you don't call a Protestant your brother and sister, do you have to go to confession? No. If you don't believe that The Muslims, Allah, is the same God you worship. Do you have to go to confession? No. So these are magisterial teachings. They come out of a council. But these are not matters of that are you obliged to believe as a Catholic. You do have to say, oh, yeah, church taught that. Perhaps there's a way we can understand it. Now, I would say if we dig deeper into these things on a surface level, we can understand something like this. Oh, we worship the same God as Muslims. That's if you just have this basic cursory understanding of this monotheistic thing, God, right? Who Jews and Muslims and that we all worship this. All right. Or you can understand it like the same God who we worship is the one true God. And if you're a Muslim, the God you worship is somehow still that God. You just don't understand fully who that God is. So there's ways to this can, you know, you can easily say, okay, I kind of see what they were saying, right? Because the document, it's called Unitas or something like that. I forget the name. But yeah, it's not a deep document at all. It's not rigorous at all. It's very shallow, very weak document. Right? It's a non sequitur though. Let's say because there's documents or parts of documents that I don't know what they're really saying there. This needs more clarification. It doesn't therefore mean this is a new church or that this is something completely different, right? We have to lean in as Catholics to say the Vatican II is in continuity with every other ecumenical council, right? And that we have to read Vatican II in light of the 2,000-year tradition. So we can't isolate Vatican II and say, we're just going to read Vatican II isolated outside of the other councils. No, we have to read it in light of the whole tradition. And so if you use a light to the whole tradition to reconcile what Vatican II is saying, well, that's how you reconcile it, right? At least that's what, the ideas of ecumenical councils, that they don't contradict one another. So if they don't contradict one another, then that's how we have to read the documents. So, but yeah, I think there's things in there. When I was a brand new convert, I read Vatican II. My spiritual mother, Rose, who I talked about another show, you know, she's a charismatic. I think that side over there. Yeah, I still have it on my shelf. So. All right. And Colin says, yes, sir, David O'Gray, he hides. He must come out and be counted. That is, if he is a warrior for Christ. Yeah. And Colin says, we must also understand that we have had bad popes through history, but we must defend the office. We do. That's what we have. We have to defend the office. Once you start asking, is Pope Francis Pope? It brings the whole office into question. They're like people who are saying, oh, Benedict was the last pope. Okay. That's a loop that doesn't end. Because if Pope Francis is not the pope, and he's appointing cardinals who will elect the next pope. Well, the cardinals, if Pope Francis is not the pope, then he has no authority to appoint cardinals. Which means the next pope that's elected is also not a pope. This is like when you put a mirror in front of a mirror. It's just an endless thing now. So we're better off defending the office itself rather than raising questions that we have no answer or resolve to and that we can't prove to be objectively true. Pope Francis is the Pope. If he's not the Pope, then there's never going to be another Pope. All right. Unless there is some sort of conciliar council, which is just weird. Because then you run into another historical issue. Like, who's in charge? The bishops or the Pope? So it's just Pope Francis the Pope. And there'll be a Pope after him. I hope he makes you happy. I don't know. But no matter who the Pope is, this call to salvation is always the same. Go be holy, be a saint. I really don't even know how much, you know, the whole papal thing, how much does that really affect your salvation? Sure, it can cause you some stress. It also can assist you at times, such as this year that's coming up with Pope Francis's, what's this year coming up? Some sort of pilgrimage year, some year of faith or something like that, right? You go, there's places you can go to make pilgrimage, you receive a plenary indulgence, right? So a Pope can help you with your faith as well, right? So, but ultimately, you have to work out your own salvation, regardless of who the Pope is. Dominic's saying Archbishop, I think he's saying Lefebvre, did sign all the Vatican II documents. His position on liturgy would have been stronger if he did not sign. Yeah. It's like people who sign, like who plead guilty and say, oh, wait, I was innocent. Well, they would just sign a statement. So. Yvonne says, only God can judge the Pope because he holds the keys and only God owns the keys. Yeah, that's a good comment. I like that. The Pope is holding the keys, but they're God's keys. So it's like some sort of limited freedom that a Pope would have. That makes sense. John Doe says, Francis is my Pope! ! But he's a bad Pope. That's where I'm at. Colin says, yesterday, I listened to him in the beginning because Vigano back in around 2018. I think, bro, wow, this guy is really, he's really dope. But now I know him. We must stay close to Christ and the Blessed Virgin. Diamond says someone should check Archbishop Vigano's bank account. Silver talks, Acts Judas. That's funny. I don't think he's worried about money. I mean, his family is very wealthy, right? But you never know. I mean, he does have a foundation to raise money for. But he's had a comfortable life all his life. Silver spoon. This is probably like the worst thing he's ever been through. You know, suffering. And I really don't know him personally. Like I said, you know, he's very wealthy, very comfortable life, silver spoon. So I don't know if he's ever like ever really suffered, never ever went hungry, that type of like physical suffering. I don't know what he's went through, but I'm thinking this is probably the worst thing he's ever been through. And the thing about suffering, I kind of wrote about this in my commentary on the readings this Sunday, you know, talking about Job and suffering. And the thing about suffering, you find out who you are in suffering. Other people also find out who you are when you suffer. Suffering is like the thing that evens everything out. You find out who you are, and others find out who you are when you suffer, like how you react to suffering. Is a truth barometer. A truth barometer. Suffering is. And so now that Vigano is suffering from this Inquisition trial, we're actually finding out who he is. And he says, his comment is like, I am honored. I am honored to be accused of schism. I'm a coward. I won't go, though. I won't go to the Vatican and defend myself. Coward. So prideful coward. We found out who Vigano is. And he's also finding out who he is. I really love that reflection today. You know, I write these commentaries, and sometimes I'm surprised about, you know, what, you know, spirit inspires me to write. And so I was thinking about suffering. You know, a lot of people always want to, you know, why do people suffer? Now, this is Job's whole question, you know. Why do people suffer? Or people say, well, why do good things, bad things happen to good people? You know, why do people suffer? And I wrote in my reflection that I think that's the wrong way to think about suffering. And I never occurred to me before until I'm contemplating the readings today. That is the wrong question. Like, why does suffering happen? Why do we suffer? That's the wrong question. Suffering does not have a universal answer to it, but it does have a universal response. There's no answer to suffering, but we answer suffering with humility. Again, we don't have an answer to suffering, but we answer suffering with, we respond to suffering with humility. That's Christ on the cross. Christ on the cross, Christ on the crucifix, humility. And we respond to suffering with humility because Christ suffered first. Christ endured the greatest suffering. And because we're in union with Christ, because we belong to his body, we're included in that suffering. And so and Christ is included in our suffering. So there's no greater suffering than Christ. So Christ suffered for all our suffering. And his response to suffering was humility. So anytime something happens in your life where you're suffering, and my working definition of suffering is just when things don't go your way. When things don't go your way, when things are out of control, you don't have control of them, you suffer. It can be something as simple as, you know, you're missing your car keys. Oh, man, you go through some suffering, some stress. Things just aren't going your way. It could be a parent dying and unexpectedly. You're suffering. Things didn't go your way. You wanted them to live a lot longer. Right? The only response to that is humility. Right? Recognizing that no suffering that you've ever gone through, everyone, there's no new suffering, and Christ suffered first. And he's with us in our suffering. So give up trying to find an answer to suffering. Just be humble in suffering. So Vigano is suffering, and his response is pride, which is the complete opposite of the right response to suffering. The right response to suffering for him is recanting and repenting, because he should realize that he's leading people away from Christ. He's causing people to be angry. He's causing people to hate. He's causing people. It's just that his response is just anti-love. And he's filling all his followers up with this anxiety and this worry and this hate. Oh, what's going to happen to me? That's a very unhealthy way to live. It's unhealthy to follow Vigano. It's even unhealthy to be Vigano right now. So everyone is like, this is just a bad time for Vigano and people who follow him. Born brand, yeah. 90% of Catholics don't know who Vigano is and do not support him. Yeah. Raise that to 99.99999. Right. Can Vigano be elected Pope? Yeah. You could be elected Pope. A Pope doesn't have to be a priest or a bishop or a cardinal. Anyone can be Pope. You just have to be elected, right? I'm running for Pope at the next conclave, just so you guys know. Probably won't get one vote, but I'm going to try to put my hope. I'm trying to get someone to nominate me. So I'm going to start my own St. Gallen Mafia. I'm going to try to find some like really liberal like Cardinals. I'm going to tell them that, hey, if you let me, I'm going to do some like real liberal stuff. And then I'm going to become Pope. And then I'm going to like do like the opposite of what I told them I'm going to do. And that'll be that. So, yeah, anybody can be Pope. Just got to get elected. Colin says, Francis isn't the best, but our duty is to defend the office of the Pope. An institute that Christ created with St. Peter the Rock. Do you know some bishops don't believe that that's what Jesus meant? I find that amazing that that's actually a question today. That a lot of bishops don't believe that Peter was the rock. And they're kind of like wanting to use that as a way to unite the church, like make us all one with Protestants and the Orthodox. Hey, if we just reject that Peter's the rock, then we'll all be one. It's kind of really strange. Colin, thanks for supporting St. Dominic's Media and the show, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for that. And Deacon Toby says, in all fairness, Vatican II was so poorly implemented, it never really recovered in people's mind. The explosion of traditional Latin mass has to have merit, can't deny the Holy Spirit involvement. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. The rollout, so to speak. The implementation and the hijacking of the documents by the liberals was horrendous. But, you know, the liberals, they just plan better than the rest of us. They play the long game. They can see things way in advance, and they plot and they scheme better than, what did Jesus call them? Foxes, you know, be sly as a serpent or something like that, or crafty, you know. But yeah, they have machinations better than us. And they definitely hijacked Vatican II. And that's that. Colin dropped another 20. Francis is Pope for better or worse. Yeah. Yep, until he dies or resigns. I mean, that's the Pope. Yvonne says, your commentary on today's readings was exactly the same as what our priest father Peter Elvis said. I was blown away. Wow. That's really cool to hear. Because you don't want to be like alone in your thoughts, because then they're not of the Holy Spirit, right? But the Holy Spirit is inspiring with people like the same like thing. Then, oh, okay. That's really cool to hear. Thanks for that, Yvonne. Keith is here. Again, another reason why bad things happen to good people. Every believer has a right to reject Francis, the anti-pope. Again, not helpful, not objectively true, just an opinion, right? But if this is like the ethos, the milieu of the traditional Latin mass community, then no wonder why we're Hamas, we're Palestine, right? Keith is Hamas. We're Palestine. Francis is Israel. Blow the whole thing up just to get Keith. Kill our babies. Kill our wives. Keith is the problem. let's send a letter to the Vatican and snitch out Keith so he can be called up to the Holy Office at Inquisition. That's how we do that. We just have to let Vatican know where Keith is at. Keith, put a drop in the comm box your address. Not even your address, because apparently they email letters of Inquisition now. They're emailing people. Hey, you're being called up for schism. Keith, drop your email down in the comment box and so we can send it to the Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith. So we gotta let Francis know where Hamas is at, because he can't blow the whole thing up. We just have to start snitching on people. Snitch him out. All right, that's today's show. It's been 90 minutes, and so that's my limit. Yvonne says, David, here's the mind-blowing part. The deacon was supposed to do the homily. Was not supposed to do the homily. Or the deacon was supposed to do it. So the priest did it. So he was winging it. Wow. There you go. And I would say I was winging it too. I think I always wing it when I write my roof. Because I'll read them sometimes like the week ahead of time, kind of get my head around. And what I want to write about, what I told my wife, hey, I'm going to make this about, I was supposed to write about something else. I told her, I forget what I told her I'm going to write about. Then I'm sitting there typing it and something else is like coming out. All right. So maybe that's just one of the things some of us are supposed to hear. Let's be humble when we suffer. So peace. I'm out of here. Hope you guys have a blessed. What time is it where a lot of you are at? It's still yesterday. It's still Sunday. All right. So have a blessed rest of your Sunday. Have a blessed Monday. And I'll be back in a couple days. So I'll see you next time. And until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours. Peace.